with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There have been leaders in the church who have desired very strongly and urgently to move into the center of the stage and to replace Christ and his cross. The history of the church is replete with that kind of leadership, which very frequently, thank God, ends up with a termination of some kind or other, so that the church of our Lord Jesus Christ would not be ruined and destroyed completely. On this day, 93 years ago, died one of the greatest churchmen which Lutheranism in America had ever seen. Not only a churchman, but a teacher of the church, a pastor, who throughout his lifetime ministered to people. And in his ministry and in his teaching service, his greatest purpose was always to lead people to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. With John the Baptist, he repeatedly said, pointing to our Lord Jesus, he must increase while I must decrease. A sign of a leader in the church. This was the first president and the primary founder of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, C.F.W. Walter, who also served as the first president of the seminary. It was on May 4th, 1887, that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod assembled in its convention in St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Already in his opening address, President Swan and all delegates were, of course, deeply conscious of the fact that the man whom they revered and whom they loved to hear loudly, because he was our Lord's spokesman, was lying on his deathbed. And in his opening address, Swan used the words of Elijah, even in a prophetic sense, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And then on May 7th, only a few days later, the telegram reached the delegates in Fort Wayne that their father in Israel had been called to Israel to the presence of the Lord whom he served. There was a hush that fell over the convention, as well as a period of intense mourning. There are times in the church when it seems that the situations and the things that are happening may be very injurious, may affect the church and its people very negatively. You and I have periods of that type in our own personal life as well. Now, in a very simplistic time, it was very, very easy for individuals to think that God was up there, that we were walking on the earth down here, and of course that Satan was down there. Then, as very serious and tempting situations in life confronted us, it was so easy to pray to the God who obviously was there. particularly during our lifetime, science, space exploration, men walking on the moon, and a host of other discoveries, have changed this entire perspective. And for some, has changed that perspective so much as the Russian astronaut who was hurtling through space. And as he came back, he said he had looked all over for God up there and had never even seen a trace of him. It proves to him, and it has proved to others, that there is no God. Even in better moments, man concludes that perhaps God has been trapped in his own creation, that he did not look all the way down the pipe as he put this whole world together, and now has been caught like in a web and has been lost, or has lost the control over his own creation. Or others who feel that perhaps he has grown old and weary, but he's an exhausted old man like George Burns in the movie Old God. Partially still in control, but partially out of the picture. That happens every time when we as individuals feel that we can play at God. Sometimes in a very, very innocent way, sometimes in a deliberate way. Remember that last portion of the gospel that was just read, in a very innocent way, the disciples took up the Savior as he asked them to step into the boat and to row across the lake. That which was intended to be a pleasant evening boat ride was very soon converted into a nightmare. And so things can happen that quickly to us as well. Suddenly the fantastic winds, the torrential rain coming forth from a sky that is black and threatening, with thunder clouds, then one can hardly distinguish between the sky and the horizon and the waves of the lake. And then we are tempted, like the disciples, to begin to bail out. The first thing we do is to look around to see what kind of resources we have, and to use them as vigorously as we possibly can. So we too can see that Jesus is asleep in the back part of the boat. For he, in the opinion of the popular mind, has abdicated in the same way as our Creator. Friends then come, and they sit down, and they realize that we are in a moment of depression, that we find it very difficult to move ahead, even as the children of Israel who were gathered at the Red Sea, hemmed in by mountains and by Egyptian chariots, taking them from the rear. Then the friend comes, and he brings us a bit of cheer, and he tells us, cheer up, things could be worse. And as the reactor responded several days later, sure enough, I did cheer up, and things did get worse. Jesus is asleep in the back part of the boat. But there came a time when the disciples found themselves that their own resources, their own ingenuity, all of their self-confidence, and everything else had reached the absolute end of the line. There's nothing else that they could do, and in desperation and in fear they frantically yelled at our Lord sleeping in the bath, saying, Master, Master, we are drowning. We are perishing. And what does our Lord do? As he listens to that call, the first thing he does is to stand and to command, or as our translation says, he ordered the wind and the waves to stop. The environmental element, which had been so disturbing and distressing and frightening, will calm down. He indicates thereby that he was indeed not trapped in his own creation, not exhausted and weary, and had lost his power and was suffering off behind the trees somewhere, but much rather that he still controlled wind and waves. But first, the disciples had to be emptied of all their self-confidence. Their normal way of living without God and without fear. And so today, as we go along through Hartman days, there often are those moments when we can go many days even without a single prayer. There are many days when we can move along as though we had ties of the world and even of the universe. Until suddenly, that kind of euphoric inner both lives turns into a violent experience in the storm. And it is at that point that our Lord comes to us even as he came to the disciples. Where is your faith? Where is your trust? And then, having been emptied, he comes to us to fill us. He comes to us to restore and strengthen us. He comes to us to speak through his word and through one another.
Today, folks, for Monday, May 12th, beginning of a new week, the